and standing by. And as I mentioned before we stepped away, Jonathan Wong, and we were going to talk last week, and then Nadal gets injured and retires, and it kind of threw Wednesday into a cocked hat. Instead, we wait, and we got another stake winner to talk about, because Cal Oaks winner Dynasty of Her Own yesterday, Ricardo Gonzalez. But let's first welcome in Jonathan Wong and congratulate him on the first grade one. Jonathan, well done. The gamely win, Keeper of the Stars, last Monday.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on your show.
Not at all. I reached out to Rick Haverly and I said, I got to get Johnny Wong on. And he said, oh, absolutely. And so he sent me the number, and it's an overdue pledge. It's great. You could just tell from the quotes and the reaction last week. Keeper has been, she's been really obviously important to you, and kind of appropriate that she gets your first grade one.
Yeah, I mean, she's amazing. She's amazing. I mean, Tommy Towne, Thoroughbreds, Tom and Debbie Stoll, I mean, they've so awesome to win my first grade one with them. I mean, they've given me such a great opportunity. I mean, I can't thank them enough. I mean, they've given me such nice horses. I mean, I'm very happy for them.
We're going to talk about her and you reference the opportunity to train a horse like this. And I want to kind of pause before we talk specifics and talk about yesterday and the Cal Oaks win. Talk about your career and talk about, how you got to where you are.
I first started working at the racetrack when I was 16. And then I ended up working for John Martin for a while, for the longest of time. I was his assistant. I learned a lot from him. Great horseman. And then I got an opportunity, a couple of the owners, they asked me if I wanted to go out on my own, and they gave me a great opportunity, and very fortunate to them. I mean, and I'm very grateful. We've been very successful.
Where'd you grow up?
San Francisco. Born and raised in San Francisco.
Nice. And what got you even interested? What got you to the racetrack?
My family, we had a friend, he owned a grocery store, and he also owned some racehorses, and he invited us to the racetrack one day when one of his horses was running, and pretty much that was it. I was hooked.
That's great. And when you got onto the track, Bay Meadows or at that point?
Yeah, Bay Meadows.
Yeah. Ugh. It's a tragedy. Not that Golden Gate isn't a nice racetrack, but Bay Meadows was a very special place. I sense people that were Jonathan Wright. I mean, people that never saw it or don't know its history, don't really know what the game has lost. They talk about Hollywood.
No, they
Park
really missed out.
Now, yeah.
People who didn't get to experience Bay Meadows really missed out. I mean, that place was awesome. I love that place. Especially the Friday night races, those were fun.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that when you got on the track, you started walking hots and worked your way up from there.
Yes, sir.
Did you worked for Art or for Steve Sherman, I think.
Yeah, I worked for Art Sherman for a little bit as well. And Lonnie Arterburn.
How about that? Lonnie Arterburn.
Yeah, I worked for them.
And you're still young, right? How old are you?
31.
How about that? Wow.
Wow. 31.
And you've been, that's amazing. And you've been on your own. It's got to be 5-6 years by now, right?
I started my first horse literally like the last day of 2014. That was when I started my first horse.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty much since the end of 2014 is when I started to get my own.
Well, then, I mean, you can't, you've got to be impressed with, with how quickly you were able to, I mean, you were, even with the I would say the cheaper horses. I mean, with claiming types, you know, you obviously, you know, caught attention, and you know, to then make that transition, and kind of get the, you know, the higher, get your hands on higher quality horses. I mean, that's, you know, that's the ideal scenario. Muggeritz, right, was the first stake winner.
Muggeritz was our first stakes winner. Yeah, he was also our first. He won our first Grade Three as well.
Nice. And there's been a few you've gotten cool your hands
the
on.
Awesome. The horse is awesome. The horse is awesome. That's a cool horse.
How much satisfaction? Talk about the satisfaction of taking, you know, of picking out claimers and moving them up and you know trying to get something out of, you know, out of a horse that, you know, is either trying to reclaim past glory, or, you know, may have more to give.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun. Like, I mean, we claim a horse. I like to claim a horse with an idea, like a plan. I mean, for the horse, not just claim a horse, but claim the horse. I mean, there's times I want to claim a horse and try something new, and it works out, right? And it works out great, yeah. We've had a couple like that, but there's also times where you claim a horse and you want to try something and it completely fails. I mean, it's just a lot. I mean, you've got to get lucky, you know?
No doubt. And talk about attracting owners, and you know, obviously this, when it comes to keeper, started with Jerry Hollendorfer, and you take over, but you know, getting horses from Tommy Town, or you know, or any new clients that you know, when you're trying to upgrade your client base and your, you know, your bloodstock.
Yeah, I mean, with Tommy Town, I mean, we picked up a couple horses from them, from Billy Morey. Billy Morey put in a good word for us with Mike Allen, the ranch manager for Tommy Town, and fortunately, they gave us a couple horses. And then the whole Jerry Hollendorfer situation happened, unfortunately, and they called and asked if we'd pick up a couple of horses for Jerry that they had, and one of them happened to be Keeper of the Stars. So, I mean, like I said, I can't thank them enough for the opportunity that they've given me, you know.
Delve into Keeper, and let's, you know, let's talk about where she is and what, you know, what last Monday meant and you know, winning the Grade One.
Oh, that was crazy. I mean, she was going into the race, she was training super. I mean, she was training really good, so we were hopeful she was going to run good. When we drew the 11 hole, I was kind of happy. I know it sounds weird that we drew like the 11 hole, but the time before she had won when she won the Grade Two, she had drew the 11 hole. And she's the type of filly that she's better on the outside where she can't get in trouble. Because once she's one, you got to keep in the clear and just let her do her thing. Because when you stop her, it's just, she's such a big filly, it's hard to get her to stop and go. You know, I mean, and Abel gave her a great ride. I mean, that ride was literally picture perfect. It couldn't have been any better than what we were expecting and hoping. So that worked out good, you know. And then it's crazy during this whole pandemic time where you're not allowed at the front side at the races. So I just came home and watched the race with my family, and we were going crazy. We were going insane. We're jumping up and down, screaming on the couches. It was pretty fun.
You mentioned Abel Cedillo is part of this, and of course he won four last Monday. He's going to be with us in about a half an hour. We're going to visit for the first time. Yeah, I watched him all weekend again, and Brad Free and I talked about him on Friday, and just kind of raved about, you know, and how he has, you know, it's made it very clear that, I mean, he's going to be a star. I mean, it's not, if he's not a star already. How did you happen on him and you know, talk about what you think of him as a rider?
I think he's a great rider. He's got the best work ethic you'll ever see in a rider. He listens, which is probably the most important thing with him. He listens and he tries on every horse. You know, he rides every single horse to 100% of his ability. He's a really good friend of mine, really good friend of mine. So winning my first grade one with him was really special as well, you know. I mean, he's, like I said, he's a really good friend of mine. He was riding up here at Golden Gate, and we had a lot of success together. And Tom Canoes, his agent now, was calling me. He's like, hey, ask Abel if he wants to come to Santa Anita. So I told him, I was like, hey, Tom wants to know if you want to go down there and ride Santa Anita in Del Mar. And he's like, what do you think? I was like, yeah, why not? You're riding great. I mean, give it a go. I mean, and I'm so proud of him that he's doing good. I mean, he deserves it. He really deserves it. He's an amazing rider, a great person, very good friend. I couldn't be happier for the guy.
That's tremendous. And you know, his story actually sounds a little bit like yours, right? He came to, we'll talk about it with him, but he came to Ocala where his dad was working and from Guatemala, and he didn't have any designs on necessarily being a jockey. And the next thing you know, he's getting on some horses and, you know, here's a career.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, like I said, and he got to where he is because he has such a good work ethic. I mean, the guy will work. He works 7 days a week. I mean, he listens, he tries. He's a really good rider. He doesn't fight horses. He puts them in good spots. And horses run for him, you know? Horses run for him.
Yep. Exactly right, and any kind too. He doesn't have to rely on being on the front end or, you know, coming from off whatever suits the horse itself.
Exactly.
I've been really impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be happy for the guy.
Well. His transition coming, you know, down to Southern Cal, you can talk about your own. I mean, because as somebody that, you know, that plays the Southern California circuit, you know, I could see, you know, more and more, you know, of your entries making their way, you know, to Santa Anita and talk about, you know, testing those waters and picking out horses that you bring down to Santa Anita and, you know, establishing yourself from Northern Cal to Southern Cal.
Yeah, I mean, like the horse that won the same day as Keeper the Race before, Studly Perfection, I mean, we sent him down there because he has a way better record on dirt than he does on the turf, which was like the only races we had available here were the turf at Golden Gate. So we sent him down there, I mean, and he won. So, I mean, pretty much you like to find horses that have good dirt form and have tactical speed or on-the-lead type of horses because that's what you've been winning recently more down in Santa Anita. I mean, and, like, a lot, we have a couple three-year-olds that just broke their maiden up here for Tommytown as well that we're going to try to take down there and try to test the water, see if they're good enough to compete with the horses down in Santa Anita and hopefully try to eventually get them into some stakes company down there as well.
How have you split your time? I mean, in normal circumstances, you know, in terms of, you know, back and forth and you know, managing, you know, a larger string than, you know, as you've grown and as your business has grown.
Yeah, right now it's tough. I mean, during with the whole travel restrictions and everything with the whole coronavirus and everything. Fortunately, I mean, we have a really good crew down there in Santa Anita. Kristen Mohall, she's one of my best friends. And she watches over our barn down there at Santa Anita, and she helps me out a ton. I mean, she's done an amazing job with the Keeper of the Stars, and she's awesome to have helping me. She's an amazing horse person.
Well, to have somebody, this is very similar to some of the things that we talk about with Kenny McPeak or with Mark Cassie, you know, having full-fledged trainers. I mean, Kristen Mulhall, you know, could just as easily, you know, still be out on her own. So to have her as a, you know, as a division manager, what a terrific situation, because, you know, that's somebody you can completely rely on. You don't have to, you know, be sweating out you know, you still might get calls at 3:30 in the morning, but you're not worried that the horses are being watched by somebody that you don't have confidence in.
Oh no, exactly. I mean, like I said, having her fortunately helping me out down there is just amazing. I mean, she's, like I said, she's awesome.
How many horses in both camps?
We have 60 up at Northern California and 10 down in Santa Anita.
And of course, you can swap them back and forth and
very helpful being able to have a place to go down there and ship a horse to, you know, and know it's going to get taken care of.
Give us a feel for, you know, for what transpired yesterday. A dynasty of her own, wire to wire under Ricardo Gonzalez to win the Cal Oaks.
Yeah, definitely. She actually had been down at Santa Anita training, and Kristen told me that that filly was training really good. She was coming into this race really good. So we ended up in this race here, and it looked like a tough race on paper, but I mean, Ricky, he got her to the lead, and she ran great. I mean, she ran amazing. It was going a little quick, but I mean, Ricky got her to settle the second quarter, and I think that's what really helped her hang on to win.
She's now 4 for 5.
Yeah, she's 4 for 5. I mean, she ran third in the other stake that she, and only time she got beat in New Mexico, where she set a fast pace into a pretty strong headwind that day, and she got tired and ran third. But she's a really nice filly. She's always shown a lot of ability in the morning. Going into her first start, we thought she was going to be a decent filly, and I mean, luckily she has. She's shown in the afternoon what she's shown in the morning.
Well, and Gonzalez has been on for 3 of those wins, and that's interesting. Arietta rode her down at Sunland, and mm-hmm. He's been showcased. He spent about 3 weeks at Fawner Park,
yeah.
I think he. Right, he got some exposure to people, you know, that don't watch him at Canterbury or in New Mexico. He can ride.
Yeah, he's a good rider as well. I mean, I know he also rides at Turf Paradise. I mean, he's a very good rider. You know, he rode her really good the first time. I mean, and the second time it was her first time routing, and she just got a hold of the bridle and just, I mean, she's tough. She's not an easy horse to ride, you know.
Well, she won that Borderplex, and she's never been off the board in the 5 starts, 4 wins and third in the Island Fashion, and wins the Cal Oaks. And, you know, what's notable is that win in the Borderplex on the dirt. And so it feels like she's kind of versatile in that regard.
Oh, yeah, she's very versatile. I mean, she can run on the dirt. She can run on the Zapita. She can route. She can sprint. She can go from on the lead, she can go from off the pace. She's a very versatile filly, you know. I mean, we've got a lot of options with her just because she can pretty much do whatever you throw at her. You know, she just loves to run.
Should mention, Dynasty on her own, a Shanghai Bobby filly out of the Richter scale mare. How about that? Lady Dynasty, bred by the Castors. And you also, I don't want to leave out Rewa, who was 4th in here, and it's interesting because Dynasty of her own kind of, you know, spread out a little bit off of Rewa. They were a length and a quarter apart in that allowance race in March, and this time Dynasty beat her pretty soundly.
Yeah, Rewa, I mean, she shows up every time. I mean, yesterday I think might have been a little tough for her, and she might have needed the race. But she's also a really nice filly who tries every time. I mean, she might be better on the grass. The only time we got her on the grass, she won. So hopefully we'll be able to get her back on the grass here pretty soon in her first condition. And I expect her to run a good race as well.
Nice. And this was a stakes debut for her. And, she only got beat, what, 1, 2? She got beat 3.5 lengths. She ran all right.
Yeah, she ran good.
And she had,
she rang good. She was facing coming on at the end, you know.
And this was how, this was about a mile and a 16th, yeah. Well, and Jonathan, what do you got picked out? I imagine you're looking down toward Del Mar with Keeper.
I was going to sit down with the owners today, and we were going to discuss all of our options and come up with a game plan for her. I mean, right now we have nothing set in stone for her on where we're going to run her, so we just want to kind of get a game plan and try to figure out what our options are and the best for her.
Now, and speaking of, you know, speaking of distances, this was slightly notable because I think it was her first win at a mile and an eighth. It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what's her best? Like, what do you think for her?
With that filly, I mean, I personally feel she can win going a mile to a mile and a quarter. I mean, if she gets a good trip or she can settle and stay in the clear, I mean, she can run all day. I mean, if you watch her on the gallop out, she just keeps going after her race and everything. She's, like I said, she's another filly that's very versatile. She can go, I feel, from a mile to a mile and a quarter with the right trip.
Well, and Keeper, to get the background as well on her for Tommytown, she, a Midnight Loot filly, and we've been talking about Hillendale's Midnight Loot seemingly every week. But Keeper of the Stars was $180,000 as a Keeneland yearling out of the Runaway and Hyde mare Sociable. She was the second foal, and actually, she's got a full brother gelding, Morning Social, who's made $130,000, only one win, but a bunch of placements, Morning Social. So very productive. There's a two-year-old called Valenzano, a two-year-old Verrazano colt, and then there's a yearling by Classic Empire, and there's no reported baby yet for Sociable for this year. But Keeper of the Stars, the first Grade One winner for Jonathan Wong. Jonathan, what's coming up here? A few more weeks, obviously, into June at Santa Anita. The rest of this meet, Golden Gate, of course, you know, continues on. But any more meet highlights in Arcadia?
Hopefully, we have a filly that broke her maiden up here at Golden Gate that we're going to try to take down there and see how, like I was telling you, test the waters down there. I mean, and hopefully she can step up and run a good race. I mean, she's trained really good before her race. She won first time out, and we've had a lot of high hopes for her, so hopefully she can continue. Her name's Praise and Honor.
Praise and Honor. Who owns?
Yeah. Tommytown.
Tommytown, too?
Tommytown.
How many you got for Tommytown?
We have like 30 for them right now.
Holy cow.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I can't thank them enough for the opportunity that they've given me with all these nice horses, you know.
That's great. That's great. Well, and got a couple of starters later in the week, Thursday and Friday. Mythcall on Thursday and Kayla's Cowgirl on Friday. I mean, you get well bet, of course, at Golden Gate, but anything to know about those two?
Both of them, it looks like they got good chances. I mean, both of them should be, they pretty much have the same running style. They'll either be on the lead or right off of the pace. And hopefully they can get the win.
I love it. Jonathan, absolutely thrilled for the first Grade One, and I wish you continued success. An overdue pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Not at all. It's my pleasure. Jonathan Wong, and you can follow John at J.A. Wong Racing on the on Twitter. And let me make sure. I think I've got you followed. Okay. I wanted to make sure, Jonathan. I thought I did. I thought I had. I wasn't sure. But everybody else should follow Jonathan as well. Jonathan, continued success.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No, we'll talk again. Jonathan Wong, everybody,
yes,
and his first grade one. You got it. Keeper of the Stars last Monday. And I'm glad we mentioned Muggeritz, and he's had his hands on a few horses that fans of. He had Cochise for a while that I always liked, and you know, when you're a claiming trainer, you know, you're gonna get your hands occasionally. You're gonna see a horse that you know, one of the ways you get to find out. You know, you end up following a trainer like Jonathan. That's pretty funny. I didn't realize that they had a relationship. Wong and Cedillo like that. But you're going to hear in about 15 minutes. Going to hear from Abel Cedillo. Looking forward to it, actually, just because we've been talking so glowingly about him. Graham Motion will join us tomorrow. All right. Graham ended up tied up this morning, and some things have gone longer than he expected. I was going to give you some Graham Motion here over these 20 minutes, but we'll save it. We'll save it for tomorrow. Also, we've got a bunch of, got a bunch of things tomorrow as well. In addition to Andy, of course, on Tuesday, Ryan Flanders is going to join us and talk about his. I mentioned this with Pete the other day. He's been doing stuff, doing the trip notes conversations. Well, I want to hear about the specifics and really get the details of Trip Note Pros and how they're, you know, they're putting the reports together. It's a lot like a clocker report, essentially. And it, you know, it goes back and records, you know, horses, a lot like we used to discuss with Andy when Andy and Eric Donovan did Trips and Traps. Was such a great concept, and it's really an area of opportunity. And you know, a lot of people know Ryan as Benny South Street on Twitter, but the Trip Notes report idea really capturing a niche that was out there, right? It seems like it, and there's been already a lot of success. There's been players that have already translated it into big balloons, and I'm sure Ryan will expand on that. But I want to find out, though, how he crafted, you know, his approach to trips. I mean, Andy talks about this, you know, considerably, and you know, especially when he and Eric launched Trips and Traps. It was really the first time, you know, that I had ever seen, and you can still, they're still on the Naira YouTube page. Essentially, you know, they would pick out, you know, races that you could learn from and differentiate between a horse that would then be a bet against because they got advantageous trips and conditions too, because those were the traps, you know, horses that, you know, and you hear Andy talk about this all the time, you know, horses that benefited from the best part of the track and the race flow. But, you know, keeping trip notes, and you know, this all gets back to doing the work and, you know, keeping close tabs using things like Stable Mail. And, you know, you can use it in Formulator, and, you know, you make the notes about the, you know, horse's performances, and, you know, ultimately you've got your own, you know, who does this is Joe McKay. Smokin' Joe does this, and it, you know, keeps copious notes of, you know, not just even the trips and things that, and results, but also even, I mean, Joe records comments from horsemen when they visit the show, and you know, Joe will sit on a comment. I forget who it was, but You must have sat on one for 8 or 9 months waiting for what was going to be a two-year-old and ultimately didn't debut until three. I think it was last spring or this past spring or winter. It might have been a year ago. But Joe, when he hears this, he'll tweet it or he'll write about it on Facebook. Let's take a break so I can refresh a little bit, take a 2-3-4 minute break, and I'm going to hear from John Lennon as we pass up commercials in favor of some soul-searching or soul-soothing music. Back after this.
Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
John Lennon, Bring on the Lucy, and we're going to bring on Abel Cedillo in about 10 minutes at the bottom of the hour. He's working some horses, get a couple of other results, and I I'm sure that some of you were following what was going on Saturday at Gulfstream. That was something. The late double, the crazy late double, the two longest shots on the board in the 10th. Here was sensation for Kelsey Danner, Newtown Anner, and Byron Colt. Sensation, 55-1 in a field of 8. And then, for good measure, how about another 50-1 shot? It was unbelievable. I mean, I wasn't really watching Gulfstream. We were watching Churchill and Santa Anita, but you see the tweeting and 50-1 shot, another 50-1 shot. And then Gus texted me. He said back to back 50-1 shots and the double. Is I know some people were aghast at the double, $720. you gotta, the pool was not enormous, a $72,000 pool, but this is, you would think some of that number is skewed by the algorithm seeking the Will Pays, the CRW teams, the computer assisted wagering. What the computer does, it's basically combing Will Pays, Exacta Will Pays and Double Will Pays, and it's seeking out value essentially, and anything that it can do to, place the bets and create, a leveling. And this is the frustration of, the computer operations. And, they have sapped a lot of value out of, particularly the Exacta pools. That's been, the one that's most typically obvious. I mean, here, to be frank, a $72,000 double pool, I mean, it could have been, somebody that happened to have a $5 double. I mean, it just could have, could have skewed the pay. That'll happen. But that was nuts. A couple of maiden winners, too. Chad and Peter Brandt with a four-year-old, that North Broadway got to graduate the Quality Road filly. That was early, fairly early, half the card. And in the 2-year-old race on Saturday, Ralph Nix, somebody else who does a great job with babies, Ralph Nix, Big Daddy Dave, a Kozan gelding for Mr. Campbell, and out of an Indigo Shiner mare, Alluring Lady. That rings a bell, actually. Alluring Lady. Was that a Dale Romans? Was that a Dale Romans filly? That name. It's funny. They sort of pop in your head. You see them, and they make you. Make the synopses snap, right, and bounce around. Let me see this. I could have been something else, Lady. Alluring Lady, $53,000. She won one win in 14 career starts. Not much more to know. She won going long on the dirt. Was her one win, and she placed in a couple of three dirt sprints. All right. Maybe not. Maybe it wasn't. I want to get one announcement in that I happened to that caught my eye at Belmont as I printed out the opening day card. And by the way, speaking of Belmont, let me let everybody know, Nick Tamaro is going to handicap all of the cards, and or almost all, I suppose. There might be a day here or there where he doesn't get to it, but expect handicapping from Nick at our website on a daily basis, and we'll get him on as well for, you know, specific conversation and, you know, spots and so forth. All right. So Nick Tamaro, a lot of people have missed Nick's daily analysis and selections for many years at Capital OTB. And now right here. And of course, he's, you know, he's with us weekly anyway, but you'll be able to utilize Nick's opinion and incorporate it into your own, with your own. That's, you know, that I know some of you did that on Saturday. I got to admit that's one of the really, one of the satisfying parts of doing what we do here is a day like Saturday to identify those horses and hit that pick four on Saturday. And I know that I've gotten some really nice notes from people, and makes all the frustrations, frankly, disappear, and it makes it so worthwhile. I heard from people who, you know, winning $4,700 meant just a lot. And in fact, I even got a nice note about a pick three hit in the last three races for over 500. I mean, you know, players of varying, you know, levels or just, you know, utilizing, you know, one specific winner in that sequence on Saturday. It's crazy, actually. I mean, it's why you need, when you build multi-race tickets, it's why you need to either sometimes go a little deeper or, you know, at the very least, you know, utilize prices that you think have, you know, a chance to win, that have an upset possibility, because that's when these things are going to pay $4,700. You know, not that there's anything wrong with smaller, you know, with a $200 pick four hit, but if you don't utilize, you know, 10 to ones, 12 to ones, you can't score like that. I mean, that's instrumental. And granted, you know, for instance, Secret Message, who we'll talk about with Graham tomorrow. I mean, I don't know why there's no reason for her to have been 25 to one. That was ridiculous. And she certainly wasn't that price in the pick four. She was, you know, she was less. I mean, I think a lot of people played her. And used her. I mean, at the very least, she was a B. I mean, for me, it happened that she was an A. But, you know, she was. I just used the two Brad Coxes and the two Graham Motions. I mean, I didn't set out to do that, but that's the way it ended up happening. But anyway, Nick and I will work on Belmont. I'm sure Gus will keep doing a lot of Churchill. So, a lot of handicapping. Now that we're all back working on almost eight cylinders, or these days six cylinders, right? Eight cylinders are they're tough on gas. Regarding the Belmont meet and Naira Betts, I want to mention this: the Belmont Spring Meet Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you're playing a Naira Betts, 5% rebate on the first 5 days of the meet. Yeah. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. First five cards, a 5% rebate to your Naira Betts account. Except for show bets. No show bets. Get out of here with those. No show bets. All right. Coast to coast on Naira Betts. And if you go to the website, You'll find it under NairaBets.com/rebate. I'll drive this home the next few days. 5%, a 5% rebate. Very, very nice. Yeah, you'll get him, Casey. Casey's just telling me he's not getting Abel Cedillo yet, but you will. He was working horses, so they just broke, I think. Right, 8:30. Is the break at 8:30? Or they come back out at? I forget. I never remember. I never remember the breaks. All right, it's okay. I got stuff to do until he turns up. Let's stay with Churchill then for a minute and get to some of the other results. We talked to Neil Passin. Early in the card, there was that mile and an eighth turf race, and Cherie DeVoe, another winner, third in six starts at the meet, and she had those first two wins the opening day. El Masri, a French-bred Olympic glory filly, a four-year-old, with Tyler Gaffalione, maiden breaker. And then I'll tell you, 125-1 that got by us, certainly on Saturday. That horse of Joe Sharp's, the Animal Kingdom, Spanish Kingdom, that won the turf allowance that started the Churchill single six, that horse, I went back and looked afterward, and I realized that horse was playable, absolutely playable, and I kind of glossed over it. It certainly there were, you know, two, three others that, you know, you were going to lean on first. You know, Tiesto was going to be the favorite, a deserving favorite, and ran okay. Kind of got untracked late. Rosario's, you know, it's his style, and he's going to come running late. But Tiesto had too much to do because Spanish Kingdom, Brian Hernandez was prominent throughout and took over, and it was obvious in mid-stretch that this one was not getting beat. And when I went back, this actually was sort of the flip side of what we saw with the other two winners in the sequence later, with particularly with Whimsical. Whimsical Muse, the Amos Maggie Moss winner, that was getting back on the turf after a dirt try that really kind of obscured the form. And this was the flip side of that. Whimsical Muse ran in that Oaklawn race April 19th and, you know, got just distanced. But all you had to do was see that allowance win at Fairgrounds going 5.5. I mean, that's what was so attractive about Whimsical Muse. And again, 25-1 in a 12-horse field. It just, the beauty of, you know, the big fields. But anyway, Spanish Kingdom was doing the return to turf as well. Had run in a Oaklawn allowance on closing day, on Arkansas Derby Day, and got distanced as well. So gets reunited with Brian Hernandez Jr., with whom he broke the maiden, and gets back on turf. And 26-1, Spanish Kingdom. We'll touch on some of the others after we talk to Abel, who joins us now. Abel Cedillo, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Abel, terrific. And, you know, unless Tom Knuse told you, we've been talking about you a lot lately. You're having such a great meet at Santa Anita with things back up and running. And, you know, last week, the four wins, including the grade one for Jonathan Wong, who was just with us actually in the last half hour. You're really showcasing your talents. Congratulations on all the success.
Thank you very much.
Abel, you know, we talked with Jonathan earlier, and your story is great. You went from Guatemala, you came to stay with your dad in Ocala, and talk about how you became a rider.
First I was working on groom, like cleaning stalls, and I didn't expect to ride horses. Like I was like, well, I'm just gonna try to make money and help my family. But I have an uncle, he's an exercise rider at the farm in Ocala, and he was pushing me to be a exercise rider, to be on the horse. So that's why I got on the horse, because of him.
How old were you when you started to ride?
I was 19 years old when I started gallop horses.
How long did it take you to feel, you know, to feel comfortable? When we watch you, Abel, you look like a natural on a horse. You just have a real, you know, natural style, it seems.
Well, when I first got on the horse, first time, I was a little nervous, but I never got scared. No, I was just a little nervous. And as soon as I get on the horse, I was like, oh, I like this. I like this job. I'm going to gallop horse. That's why I go gallop horses.
Unbelievable. And so you essentially just learned to ride from that point, from as an exercise rider. Who was an influence? Who was helping you learn to make a transition from exercise rider to jockey?
Well, and then after that, I meet a friend from Chile. He was from Chile, and he helped me to be a jockey. He helped me to start working,
to breed horses and how I can breed horses on the track. He helped me a lot, and then he took me to Samurkas to watch races, and that's why I was, this look good. I want to be like those guys. I used to watch Gary Gomez, Ken DeSormo. I was like, oh, I want to be like those guys. And he told me like, oh, you can be like him. If you want to be like him, you can be like him. And that's why I go every day, I start learning, and thanks God. God helped me a lot, too.
It's tremendous. From a technical standpoint, Abel, who then helps you, you know, get to a racetrack and start to ride in the afternoons? Who helped you with that?
When I first I get my license in Calder in Florida, and
yep.
I have a trainer there to help me. He's like Dominican. He helped me to get my license, and he gave me like a couple horses. I just ride like seven or ten races at Calder, and then I moved to California, to San Francisco.
Steady, you know, you've had steady success, and then really the last 3 years, four years even, you did win 119 in 2011, but it's really the last 3-4 years that you've elevated it, and you know, in terms of earnings and stakes, and then making a transition from Golden Gate down to Santa Anita and Del Mar.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Jonathan Wong, the last three years, he helped me a lot. He put me all his horses, and we win a lot of races at Golden Gate. And a lot of those trainers in Golden Gate helped me a lot, too. And then Jonathan, he has a really good friend with Doug O'Neill. And that's why I decided to move my tack down here.
because of him.
And so you started to ride. I know. In fact, I'll mention one. I know you say Doug O'Neill, and the first filly of his that I think of is that you won with was Lazy Daisy.
Yeah, Lazy Daisy.
Won the
the
Pocahontas.
That was my first state. I think he sent me to Kentucky.
Exactly. When he won the Pocahontas, and she's just kind of a personal favorite that we talked to Doug about. You also, you know, now have got three Grade One winners to this point, and Keeper of the Stars last Monday, and then last year the win with River Boyne for Jeff Mullins in the Kilrow,
yeah.
And of course Poor Mongolian Groom, and you know that. That was so tough, Abel, for everybody.
Yeah, I know it is.
The Grade One, though, in the Awesome Again. And, you know, one thing that's notable, in fact, when you look at these winners, there's something very interesting. I said it today already, and Jonathan said the nicest things about you. Everybody has said the nicest things about you. It seems like it doesn't matter what style, what you need to do. If it's a horse that needs to be on the front end, if it's a horse that is slow out of the gate, that likes to come from off the pace, turf, dirt, sprint, route, it you seem to be comfortable in any kind of setting.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the horses too, but I think I get along with the horses. Like, as soon as I... As soon as I see the horse in the program, I don't care about the odds. Like, oh, he's like 10-1, 20-1. I don't look at that. I just look at my horse. Oh, I warm him up. He's looking. He's feeling good. So I just like go with 100% to win the race.
It's funny you say it like that, because Jonathan said the same thing. He said it doesn't matter if he's a stake race, if it's a claiming race, if it's a expensive horse, a cheap horse, it doesn't matter. That you ride them all like they're all Grade Ones.
Yeah, that's me. Like, I don't, like, I say that doesn't matter what kind of horse is he. Like, if he comes from a small track or whatever, I just ride him, like, ride all the horses.
Well, it's just so clear that, you know, horses, and Jonathan said this too, it's, you know, one of those nice things people say about jockeys, horses run for him.
Yeah, thanks to Jonathan too. He's a really good guy. He helped me a lot.
Talk a little bit about, you know, some ambitions and the things you'd like to accomplish.
Trainers or
in the career, you know, the kinds of things, just, you know, the big races obviously, and you know, just what kind of a career. You're obviously very comfortable. You've 10 years on the West Coast. I mean, obviously you like it there. I mean, I know we've had a bad period on the West Coast. Did you think about, you know, maybe coming east, or, you know, going to Oaklawn, or, you know, some of those things that, you know, some of the riders did over the winter?
Well, right now, I'm not thinking about that right now. Right now, I'm just thinking about my career over here right now, and I'm just thankful for all the trainers down here, owners, that give me the opportunity, and I'm just going to try, like, what I do right now, so I'm just going to keep going. If something happens in the future, I'm going to leave it on God.
Well, you certainly, you know, with Tom Knust, you're certainly with one of the best agents in the game. And you must, you know, be very happy with what you've been able to accomplish with him.
Yeah, you know, he's a really good agent, and he's a really good guy too. Like,
like he's, I think he's doing a great job right now. He's
Now you've at least at the very least you've given Flavian Pratt a competition so that he doesn't run away with the jockey title.
Yeah, but he's a nice guy, Flavian Pratt. Like I say, I don't write. Oh, I wanna beat Flavian. Like no, I just write like wanna win race.
It's amazing. But speaking of other jockeys and the jockeys room situation, they've got you guys in the movie, in those movie trailers. Who's your trailer roommate?
It's Avin Roman.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's amazing. The Santa Anita's doing a really good job with that happening right now with the virus, and they are doing a really good job.
It seems to be working, to knock on wood that everything keeps going and soon ideally we get people back into the racetrack as well, but in the meantime, Abel, just so happy for the opportunity to visit and congratulate you on all the success, and you've impressed a lot of horse players.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate the visit. Stay safe, and we'll see you. We'll see you at the track soon, I hope.
God bless you, and thank you. Be safe, too. Thank you.
Not at all. Abel Cedillo had a chance to introduce him to everybody, and he's 30 years old, and 10 years, and I mean, this reminds me a little bit of Joe Talamo, the way Joe Talamo was, I think, 16 before he got on a horse, if I'm not mistaken, and very quickly, became a full time rider and obviously a success, but I just pulled up his stats, his career stats, and it's 10 years he's been riding. I mean, just the fact that he called it Calder, right? That tells you a lot. He said, I started my career at Calder and then came to California in pretty short order. He's riding for everybody. He rode for Baffert, saw him ride to that, was that, he didn't win that stake for Baffert, did he? Yesterday? I think he might, actually he did. I think he did. Yeah, with Fighting Mad on the lead yesterday. Jesus, I'm an idiot. Won the honeymoon, of course, on Saturday. We talked about earlier for Peter Miller and Gary Barber. Abel Cedillo, and chance to say hi. So that situation with the jock's room, the jock, they've got those movie trailers, and there's two jocks to a trailer. And you Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm sure there's some, it's like having a roommate, we know Mike Smith is teamed with Aaron Greider, and here's Roman with Cedillo. We should get the pairings and see who's with who, and we can maybe take bets on who's the first to have a brawl, right? You can't believe that. That there won't be one of those. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to Abel. Back to some of the weekend results. We got about 5 minutes to close out on this Monday. and send you out into the race day. And it really is a race day with Laurel this afternoon, and then Tampa, Lone Star, Mountaineer tonight, Assiniboia later on, 8:30 Eastern time. And, you know, I got an email, and actually I see a note at somebody at Derby Trail, too. They're saying that the casino at Mountaineer is open. So they're wondering, does that mean the racetrack is open for attendance? And we'll put that inquiry out and see if that's the case. All right, we'll find out. All right, back to those Churchill results we were talking about. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about the pick four, and, you know, the pick five paid $131,000. And if I'm not mistaken on that, you had, let's see, you would have had four, five and a half. I'm going to guess 18. Call it 200,700. So probably five, looks like five winners of the, maybe five, so five would be six and a half million, or 600,000, right? Five, 650,000. Yeah, I'm going to say five. It looks like winners of 131,000 each. And we know of one of them. The key was What a Country. And talk about Red Dog for a second. Gary Hartledge. And Gary had only sent out 13 starters before Saturday. And this was his first winner of the year. Three of those starts came from What a Country. And this is, Red Dog is going to race him into shape. And those three efforts were okay. I mean, What a Country was behind Blackberry Wine, Prodigious Bay, Hunt the Front, and then Hunt the Front again. I mean, he lost to some very good maiden breakers while he, you know, was going 0 for 3. So What a Country was absolutely viable. And granted, you know, as we said with Nick on Friday, Asham was the horse to beat. I mean, there was no two ways about that. And he ran kind of evenly. He was kind of chasing, and then What a Country and Johnson just came and blew by everybody. 85 buyer, by the way, for What a Country in here. A nice horse, and always happy for Red Dog to have a good one. This is for Baby Talk Stable. It's a cute name. So, What a Country, and we got 17-1. And that was the key to the whole sequence. Whimsical Muse, 25-1. So, it was fun. Fearless came through at even money. I'm sure we'll talk about it more with Andy. I'm going to send you out into this Monday. I want to thank Neil Pessin, Joe Bianca, J. Bianca TDN, J.A. Wong Racing, Jonathan Wong, and Abel Cedillo, Casey on the board, and he'll be, he's got a doctor's visit, so a little late for this afternoon for the archives. Back with you tomorrow, Graham Boshin, Andy Serling, and much more. How about we close out with Bob Dylan and Hattie Carroll?
Williams and Zinger killed poor Hattie Carroll with a cane that he twirled around his diamond ring finger at a Baltimore hotel society gathering. And the cops was called in and his weapon took from him as they rode him in custody down to the station and booked Williams and Zinger for first-degree murder. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears. Take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Williams and Zinger, who had 24 years, owns a tobacco farm of 600 acres, with rich, wealthy parents who provide and protect him, and high office relations in the politics of Maryland reacted to his deed with a shrug of his shoulders and swear words and sneering, and his tongue it was a snarling. And in a matter of minutes, on bail was out walking. But you, who philosophize disgrace and criticize fears, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Hattie Carroll was a maid in the kitchen. She was 51 years old and gave birth to 10 children, who carried the dishes and took out the garbage, and never sat once at the head of the table, and didn't even talk to the people at the table, who just cleaned up all the food from the table and emptied the ashtrays on a whole other level. Got killed by a blow, lay slain by a cane that sailed through the air and came down through the room, doomed and determined to destroy all the gentle. And she never done nothing to Williams and Zinger. And you, who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Courtroom of honor, the judge pounded his gavel to show that all's equal and that the courts are on the level, and that the strings in the books ain't pulled and persuaded, and that even the nobles get properly handled once that the cops have chased after and caught 'em, and that the ladder of law has no top and no bottom. Stared at the person who killed for no reason, who just happened to be feeling that way without warning, and he spoke through his cloak most deep and distinguished, and handed out strongly for penalty and repentance Williams and Zinger with a 6-month sentence. How about you, philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, bury the rain deep in your face, for now's the time for your tears.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.